Hello again, and welcome back to another fun-filled episode of Monday Night Magic here on the MTG Cast Network. I miss clues. I mean, I'm Chewy, and I miss clues.
Hi, Chewy.
Hi, not clues.
Mwah, wah.
That's Bill. Squid.
Yes.
I mean,
I am many of these things.
Yeah. And Clues was with us during the odds and ends, which will be going up from here on out within a week of the new episode coming up or coming out, going up.
See, now you promised it.
Yeah. Well, I promised it on the last episode of the Mana Pool too, because that's when I made up my mind.
Okay, then.
So yeah, last week's are already up. If you want to hear Clues sound like a Decepticon, then you can check out this week's.
Yeah. It's really unfortunate because Clues was here and we were ready to go. And then out of nowhere, his keyboard stopped working. And then the internet decided that he was connecting through a potato. And then his wife left him and his house burned down. And wait, no, none of those other things happened. See, it's just,
I mean, part. Well, his wife left, but she didn't leave him. She just left the house.
And she took the internet with her.
Took the internet with her, yeah. He sent us a screenshot of the speed test he ran. His download speed was 2.5 megs per second, and his upload speed was 0.26, which is why he was roboting so badly. His ping was 94.
He's operating on the internet speeds of literally 12 years ago.
Possibly longer. So, yeah, if he gets that fixed, he will pop back in. But if he doesn't, then he won't.
Yep.
And there you go.
Stuck with us. Time.
Yes. So this is Monday Night Magic 576. And there's a lot of links, but not really much to talk about.
Yeah, like if you recall last week, we sort of alluded to the fact that we didn't know how much was going to go on. And as we noticed immediately after we finished recording, HasCon was coming up. And as everyone on the internet immediately told us, but HasCon is coming up. And we're like, oh, no, HasCon. Well, you know, we better be ready for all of the gripping news that's going to come out of HasCon. And, like, Watsy's going to throw some amazing article up that's going to be super long. And we're going to talk about it all the entire show. And then they didn't.
Not at all.
So we have news from HasCon, but we don't have super extensive going to talk about for 7 hours news from HasCon.
Pretty much. So let's see. Before we get to HasCon, though, this is the first week of the return of Nationals.
Bum, bum, bum.
So if you are into that sort of thing, you can check it out. Coverage was in Japan to cover the Japanese Nationals this weekend. So that's a thing.
Yep.
But there were 20 others, right? 21?
Yeah, total? When I eyeballed the list and the schedule, there were 21 total countries this past weekend, with Japan being the only one that the Wizards website has coverage of.
Because reasons. So, because coverage was good enough to go there, I will tell you, maybe I won't. Because the damn deck lists aren't in order.
Nah, dude. Mind. I warned you.
So who won? No, where is it?
Kenta Harane won in the final round.
Look, I had to go back up to the title to tell me that. Thanks. So yeah, Yuya Watanabe, Shota Yasuoka, and Kenta Harane will be the Japanese team. So there you go.
Yep.
Now, since coverage wasn't in the other 20 countries, just, you know, feel free to go look that up. Links to these sort of things will be in the show notes.
Yeah, if you're curious, the format for all of these different nationals are standard and booster draft.
Yeah.
Of the current standard and booster draft available, which matters because for the first two rounds, it's like right now. But the third round of finals, so to speak, or the third, I guess.
Nationals.
The third round of finals is a silly phrase. The third batch of nationals to occur with the remaining countries will actually be after rotation and after the new set comes out. So they'll be competing with different cards in a different environment. But for these first two batches, they're the formats that we know that will be going away in a few weeks. So
yeah, because the first batch of Nationals was this weekend, 9th and 10th of September. The next one is next weekend, 16th and 17th of September. And then the third batch is October 14th and 15th after Ixalan comes out. And after rotation, even.
Yeah.
So, weird.
Yeah, it's very strange that they have it split up like that. But that's what they're doing. So, don't hold it too hard against us that we're not diving super deep into these standard decks that will only be relevant, likely, at your FNM for the next week or two.
Yeah. And also, if we go heavy into one country, we would feel bad and want to go heavy into all the countries, and nobody wants us to do that, us included. So,
yeah.
Enough of that. Like I said, all links are in the show notes. Go dig it up. It's cool. We made it relatively simple for you.
Yep.
Sort of. Yeah, on the Nationals page, you have to go down to the schedule at the bottom, sort by date, and then good luck finding links that work.
You know, the Wizards website.
Yeah, pretty much. So HasCon happened.
Yep.
And we got the super blind pre-release of Iconic Masters. And then today, the entire set of Iconic Masters was barfed onto the website. Here's a full card image gallery, straight up.
So you too can go look at all of the cards that are in this set that comes out in November.
Yeah.
Get and maintain hype to the best of your ability.
November. It is the 11th of September.
Yeah.
And this comes out in November. So that's a little weird, but I guess it's better than having people throwing up, well, here's all the cards that I saw, and that sort of thing becoming a community thing and speculation and whatnot running rampant. So just screw it. Here's the list.
Yep. And to credit, you know, this is not impacting any constructed formats. I guess there's a possibility that this might eventually shake up your popper. I have not looked at the list for that. But beyond that, here's a cool list of a whole bunch of cards that you can look forward to at the end of the year. And it comes with a full, you know, card image gallery here, but it also comes with a, you know, release notes, which actually have something entertaining hidden in them.
Yeah. Before we get to that, real quick, the lands from Future Sight have been reprinted.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Them. In a normal card frame.
Yeah, Graven Cairns, Grove of the Burn Willows, Horizon Canopy, Nimbus Maze, I'm missing one. River of Tears.
Yeah, I like that cycle.
Yeah, because it was, each one was a one-off.
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Well, and I made it, some of them were better than others, but also it was a great way for them to experiment with things. And eventually they went back and made cycles out of some of them, didn't they?
Yeah, Graven Cairns.
Yeah, Graven Cairns became a cycle, which is cool.
Yeah. Also, the dragons from Kamigawa are back. The, like, at least one of the titans, maybe just one of the titans. Control F, Titan. Yep, just prime time.
The one you wanted.
And all of the Praetors from
Scars.
Yeah, are back as mythics. And I'm sure there's lots more neat stuff. I mean, Mana Drain is a big one.
Yeah. There's a lot of fun cards in here. But yeah, that Mana Drain at Mythic is pretty intimidating.
A little bit. So, I'm sure we will go into this more when it gets closer to the set. At least over on the Mana Pool, we will. But
yeah.
Bill had an interesting point right before the show started. You remember that, Bill?
Yeah, this was... I think I originally saw it posted somewhere on Twitter, and I hate that I don't remember who made the observation first, but for this to be iconic, you know, celebrating the long history of the game, the vast majority of these cards probably came out over the last 8 or 9 years. And that's probably a testament to modern design philosophy, but it's also a testament to just the level of power creep that we've seen over the grand lifespan of the game. Because if you pull out a bunch of the early cards that aren't game-breakingly broken, they're not very good by comparison to what we've built since. And so it's iconic, but it's iconic of, I think it would be fair to say that this is the post-Planeswalker era, maybe? Like, maybe starting around the Lorwyn era?
Sure, we can say that.
Like, if we're drawing a line somewhere. Because, there's some stuff from, you know, Future Sight and all that in here. Like, maybe it's just the Ravnica and Onward era would be more fair to say. But you're not getting a whole lot of cards that are older than that. And the ones that you do are a lot of the backbreaking ones that they're putting in at high rarities. Like, you're getting your Necropotents, you're getting, like you said, the Kamigawa Dragons and stuff, but for the most part, a lot of these are just more recent cards.
Yeah.
So Battle Rattle Shaman.
Whoa, is Battle Rattle Shaman in here?
Yeah, dude.
Dude, Battle Rattle Shaman, he's a Goblin Shaman common.
Yeah, he is.
Sick. We may or may not be goobers. So,
it's fun to say.
Let's talk about something else. So, yeah, links in the show notes. Again, once more, once we get closer, we'll probably take another look as a reminder. Most likely. Or something.
Well, yeah, I could see us taking a closer look as it gets closer as an event. But right now it's sort of like, oh, hey, here's the thing. But we've got an entire other set coming out between now and then, and a rotation and a lot of other things that are more news heavy. This is like looking at the Christmas presents 2 months early and then knowing you have to wait a while to open them.
Yeah. So, Bill hinted earlier that it looks like there's something in the Iconic Masters release notes, because we got the release notes with this.
Yeah.
Just, here you go, have some release notes that looks somewhat innocent, but is actually indicative of some sort of large rules change coming up. And
yeah.
The Magus of the Moon. Remember that card? The Blood Moon with legs? Part of the Magus cycle? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. He's the 3-mana answer to a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Yeah, Magus of the Moon's in here at rare, like you would expect. The text on it still says non-basic lands or mountains, which is what it's always said, to my knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
The main note here is that in the release notes, there's a few bullets under it explaining how this effect works, like the typical, you know, lose other land types and abilities, blah, 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 all the normal. But the noteworthy one is the third bullet, which says, if a non-basic land has an ability that applies, quote, as this land enters the battlefield, or that causes it to enter the battlefield tapped or with counters, the land will lose that ability before it applies. This is a change from previous rules. And it is a change. While Clues was in robot mode earlier, we asked him to help us understand the rules that were going on behind this, because is it easier to just put this in layman's terms than to go into all of that?
It is always easier to put it in layman's terms.
Let's do that the simple way. So the best example of this would be if you were looking at the Shocklands, which, you know, the shorthand on them is that, like, when they enter the battlefield, you may pay 2 life. If you don't, then they enter 10. Previously, and by previously, I mean including right now, because this hasn't gone into effect yet, whenever those would come in under a Blood Moon, you still get to make that choice for what happened when they come in. So they'll still come in tapped, even if afterwards they become a mountain. Or you can pay the 2 life to have them come in as an untapped card that becomes a mountain. But under these new rules,
we think
they, as we understand this, they will lose all of the ability written on the card before they come in. So you don't make a choice, but likewise, the text that says it comes in tapped is not there. It just pops down like a normal mountain. So this has some weird implications for a wide variety of Magic cards. Way wider than we could reasonably speculate about here, but a whole lot of cards have, you know, comes in tapped, or comes in with counters on them, or so on and so forth. And if a Magus of the Moon, or most likely Blood Moon, if we're assuming all the rules are going to be changed accordingly, is in effect, well, they won't do that anymore. Like, we're talking, if you're playing in a format where all these cards are allowed, you could play your Dark Depths, and it would come in as a mountain with no counters on it. And then if something happens to that Magus the Moon, you've now got a Dark Depths again with no counters on it, which couldn't have happened before. And suddenly there's Merit Lage and all that nonsense happens. Or any number of other weird things. And this isn't a changing of what's written on Magus the Moon. It's not a rod on that card or anything, but this is a fundamental rule change on how these cards work and how layering works for things that are coming in. So there's a lot of crazy rules talk behind it that I'm sure judges will have fun writing articles about this week. But
almost certainly.
something that's, you know, lurking in here that's very easy to miss because it's the third bullet on an update to a reprint. So there will most likely be more discussion, but be aware that that's a thing and that it is not in effect right now. They will tell us when that goes into effect.
Which, at the latest, will be in November when the set comes out.
Right.
I was very surprised that they released the release notes for this set a full 2 months before it comes out. For that simple reason. I was like, yeah, you know, we're going to need to clean this up. Let's add that to the update that comes with this set.
Yeah, it's really odd because I could understand them pushing out the release notes early if people could then go and play this as a format or there were new cards that needed clarification. But this is a set of reprints and there's not going to be like a sanctioned go play this set event going on in the next few months where they need to make sure that this is understood. So yeah,
very weird.
It's strange.
But something in the rules regarding either as this enters the battlefield effects or not when, but as, that's different, or just lands in general, we don't know. They might be changing the way effects like Magus of the Moon works. We just don't know.
Yeah, and we're not going to speculate too far on this one bullet.
Yeah. But that's what the internet has lost its mind over today.
Yeah.
Like someone has already pointed out a turn one Merit Lodge token in Modern, even though Dark Depths isn't legal in Modern. You know, why bother to fact check when you're making an image for Reddit? So you go three Simian Spirit Guides to play Magus of the Moon. Then you play Dark Depths. It's a mountain. You tap it because it's a non-basic land, but it doesn't enter the battlefield with counters on it because that ability's not there. Then you tap it to add a red and you bolt your own Magus of the Moon and then you get a Merit Lodge token. Isn't that adorable? You have to have exactly the right six cards in hand. Wait, 1, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah.
You have the right six cards in hand and you have to get to the second turn without your opponent doing anything for one mana in a format where you can run these cards, which is what we would call Legacy.
Yeah.
And odds are in Legacy, they could do something about that. But hey, technically a thing.
Yay, Magical Christmas Land.
Woo, it's a fun place.
All right, let's talk about something else.
Okay, so that's Iconic Masters.
Oh, another thing from HasCon. Pretty lands.
Very pretty lands.
They are very pretty lands. Unstable is gonna have borderless lands with gorgeous art by John Avon, because of course.
Yeah, it's what he does.
And there you go. I mean, we all knew that the unset was gonna have lands because like unsets are fun and all, I assume. They don't interest me, but I'm sure unsets are fun and all, but there's literally no reason to buy them other than let's have a little bit of fun.
Yeah.
Because they're not legal in any format. They're just for fun. But to drive up sales, they've been... Well, I don't know if it was originally to drive up sales, but I'm pretty sure that's why they've done it for Unglued. No, wait. What was the second one? Unhinged. And now Unstable. Mm-hmm. They put in the fancy lands that make people go, ah!
They need to give you a reason to do more than read the cards, chuckle, and then move on with your day.
Exactly. Like
you need to buy them to justify their printing. That's how it works.
And this is how they do that.
Yep.
There you go. They're really pretty, though. Like
that is accurate, yeah.
I mean it. They're dead sexy.
Yeah, and I'm sure they will make very pretty wall art when they are inevitably printed on that scale as well, as tends to happen with pretty John Avon lands. So.
Yeah.
I also just like this template for land, and it makes me sad that we aren't going to do more.
Which I'm pretty sure is what everyone has ever said with unlands.
Whenever you get, or just anything. Like, whenever we get special lands that just look prettier, it's just a reminder that the default card template looks kind of silly when you just have mana symbol in it. But that's what makes these special. So I get why they don't just make it change all the time.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yep. So, beautiful cards, link in the show notes.
Dead sexy. Okay, next. What is next? more Ixalan. There's been lots more Ixalan revealed because it's, you know, a preview week.
Yeah, it's coming up soon. These are the cards that are relevant now.
Yeah, you remember those? Oh, yeah, we did get to see Vraska finally.
Yeah.
And Vraska's neat. Hey, Bill, tell us about Vraska.
All right, let me pull up Pirate Vraska, which is not actually what the card says, but it's what you're going to call her.
It is right, totally so, what you're going to call her.
Yeah. The Vraska Relic Seeker is 4, a black and a green, legendary Planeswalker Vraska. 6 starting loyalty. So 6 mana, 6 loyalty. Seems about right. All right. +2. Create a 2/2 black pirate creature token with menace. I'm down with that.
Yeah, that seems good.
I mean, 6 mana, make a relevant creature. Like, 2/2 is not going to destroy the world, but when you're plussing and you're making a reasonable blocker, you're going to get somewhere cool eventually.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
-3. Destroy target artifact, creature, or enchantment. Create a colorless treasure artifact token with the treasure artifact token deck. So yeah. Tap, sacrifice this artifact, add a mana of any color to your mana pool. So, neat. It's fun that that's a remove things, but you also get like a little down payment for future spells on your own there. So that's pretty cool. I think that's actually Vraska turning you know, your enemy's thing into a statue and then pawning it. pretty cool.
That's Look neat. At this fine art that I have found.
Acquired. I made it myself.
That's not creepy at all.
No. Look at the fear in their face. But yeah, so you got that. And finally, at -10, and bearing in mind, you're starting at 6, and the plus ability is +2. So theoretically, third turn out if nothing else happens. -10, target player's life total becomes 1. Take that, Sorin.
Yeah, that's kind of busted.
That's going to be one of those effects that I think when you actually trigger it is not going to feel as impressive, because by that point in the game, it's very likely that your opponent's going to go from like 6 to 1, but they're still at 1 and now they're probably dead. And that's also the effect that makes me think that she will not be long in Commander.
I don't know. The fact that it takes 2 turns to get there makes it probably okay.
Probably. I mean, I'm not going to use the argument that digs up all the time of like, but with doubling season, this Planeswalker's broken, because that's all of them.
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah, but it does seem like one of those things that either will correct itself, because whenever someone sees Vraska, they feel like that could happen to me, and then she'll never actually get to go to, you know, 10, because that's just a heavy aggro effect. But I don't know. I sort of see her card more likely than not rolling out for the -3 ability. Because 6 mana, deal with 2 things while still getting some mana back is pretty good.
Yeah.
Because, you know, killing artifacts is relevant now that vehicles are a thing more often. Killing creatures is always relevant. And depending on the quality of enchantments, that could be pretty solid too. Like, that gives you an answer against a number of different deck archetypes. And also, if you're running up against a deck that's not running any of that stuff, dropping 2/2s on the board is probably sweet because they're not blocking. So, I don't know. I think she's pretty good. I think she's a lot better than the old Vraska, who, when the first Vraska was announced, people really hyped her up a bit, and then she didn't quite deliver.
And by I think didn't this one, quite deliver, you mean no one ever played her outside
she
of...
She appeared in a few decks once or twice just for her like Vindicate effect, but that was about it.
Yeah.
I see this one, provided, you know, the speed of the format allows it, being a very solid one, because green Planeswalkers tend to show up a turn or two early, and if she pops out on 4 or 5, then those pirate tokens are still relevant for the board. And if she pops out early and then immediately kills the biggest creature your opponent has, and then the next turn kills their next drop, you're probably going to win. Like, kill 2 creatures without, like, you know, weird riders attached to it is significant. And if you're looking down at Vraska and you've got, like, your bomb in your hand, you kind of need to deal with Vraska before you drop it, or you're just losing your creature. And that's rough. Like, you don't want to tap out to just lose your creature. So, I think she's pretty good.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, pirate.
Yeah, I mean, she's hanging from the rigging and has a cutlass.
She's way better at that pose than Jay says.
Well, it's because she means it.
Yeah, it's true.
And you can tell she means it.
Yeah. Jace is like, I don't even want to be here. And she's all like, yeah.
She's all pretty like, awesome. What?
Yar.
Oh, okay. You fuzzed out just as you said.
Oh, really?
That. She's all like, yeah. Like, what?
That's a lot funnier. Yeah.
What about, oh, dude, did you see the new cradle?
Yeah, I did. I don't remember the front of it, though. So I'll let you find that.
Well, it's in Double Face. It's the growing rights of Itlamok.
Yeah.
Which
I'm going to blame myself for forgetting that.
Which has kind of a dumb name, but that's okay. But it's a legendary enchantment for two and a green that's rare. When it enters the battlefield, look at the top four cards of your library. Reveal a creature card. You may reveal a creature card from among them. Put it in your hand. Rest on the bottom in any order. Nice. Makes sense. It's another of those green enchantments that let you dig.
Yep.
Okay, that's fine. And then, at the beginning of your end step, if you control four or more creatures, transform Growing Rights of Itlamok. And it transforms into Itlamok, Cradle of the Sun, a legendary land that taps for green mana, or taps to add a green mana to your mana pool for each creature you control.
That messed up.
I mean, luckily it takes a little bit of work to get. You can't just drop it and go, blah, all the mana. Because then it would be Gaia's Cradle. But better, because it actually has another ability to just tap for green mana.
Yeah.
Although since mana burn isn't a thing anymore, I guess if someone wipes your board, it's not useless.
Yeah. Admittedly, if they wipe your board after you flipped it, then you just lost four creatures. So that's still sad.
True. But there you go. I was watching the MTG Arena reveal stream, which we'll talk about in a second, when this popped up as a card that Amaz played. And everyone lost their damn minds because it's a new cradle.
Yeah.
It even says it in the title, Cradle of the Sun. So that's so fun.
Comparing this against the other legendary enchantments, did you notice that the blue one and the black one are May and this one is not?
Oh, on the front side?
Yeah, for the transforming.
I think that's because the blue and the black one actually have a reason to not flip.
Oh, no, I agree. I just think that's interesting.
Oh, wait a minute. We just got a message from Clues. The Hascon exclusive MTG cards will go on sale, he believes, on 9/20. What does that mean?
Is he talking about, like, Sword of Dungeons and Dragons and all that?
Oh, yeah, those.
Neat.
And he gave me a link, but because it's HasbroToyShop.com, it's taking forever to load on my phone. Yeah, here we go.
Why are there a sea of the other exclusive is still there?
Yeah, I'm not going to dig with that on my phone. Yeah, here we go. The 2017 Magic the Gathering Hascon Collection for only $30, $29.99. Limit one per household. Item will be available to order on 9/20/17.
Huh. That's cool. I know someone who would really appreciate getting the Transformer card. So, maybe Christmas shopping if it's still there.
So, there you go. That's pretty neat. But anyway, what were we saying right before Clues sent that and I got distracted?
I was the legendary noting, the green one doesn't have a May, and I'm wondering if that's their way of preventing you from doing some flipping shenanigans. Since legendary enchantment, legendary land, like maybe they don't want you to drop one immediately after you drop another one and just start chaining them together. But
I have no idea how that would work since it's beginning of your end step trigger.
Yeah.
I think you might be thinking too hard.
Because you don't have a choice as to when it happens. It's quite possible that they also are just like, you're going to do it. So do it. It's already done its effect, so move on.
Yeah,
so you don't forget.
It just sits there doing nothing, whereas the blue one and the black one both have an ability that continues to give you a bonus.
Okay, that's fair.
That would be my thinking.
I guess I'm looking forward to seeing the white and the red one then, since they're digging out cool old effects.
This is apparently a cycle. Yeah, the black legendary enchantment is Argels, let's say, Bloodfast. Which is almost agreed for one in a black, pay two life, draw a card. This legendary enchantment costs one in a black, by the way. So it's almost greed, because greed was pay a black and two life, I think, to draw a card.
That sounds right.
Wait, I've stopped using Gatherer. Scryfall! Because enough people told me to use it that I'm going to use it. Greed says, yeah, black, pay two life, draw a card, but it costs freaking four.
Yeah.
Whereas this costs two, so one and a black, pay two life, draw a card. At the beginning of your upkeep, if you have five or less life, you may transform it. And it transforms into the Temple of Aklazots, which is fun to say, but it's a Diamond Valley, I think is what my dorks told me. It taps for black mana, and tap sack a creature, you gain life equal to the sacrifice creature's toughness.
Which is important, because you're at five or less life.
Very much so. Is it Diamond Valley? Is that the one? Yeah. So it turns into a Diamond Valley that also taps for black mana. The Growing Rites of Itlamok turns into a Guy's Cradle that also taps for green mana. The Search for Azkanta for one and a blue is a blue legendary enchantment. Because it's, you know, one and a blue, so that'd make it blue.
Yep.
At the beginning of your upkeep, look at the top card of your library. You may put it into your graveyard. Okay. Then if Then if you have seven or more cards in your graveyard, you may transform it. And it transforms.
Threshold.
Oh, yeah, that is Threshold, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then Azkanta, the Sunken Ruin, a legendary land that taps for blue mana or two and a blue and tap. Look at the top four cards of your library. You may reveal a non-creature, non-land card from among them and put it in your hand and the rest go on the bottom. Is that a land?
I think so. I don't know which one.
Oracle text. Top four. Da, 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 da.
For those of you staying at home, be patient. I'm sure this is a thing. We just don't remember what it's called.
Okay, so, and then I want to go, where's the type line? Land. How do you search on this thing? Search with these options. No cards found. Okay, maybe this isn't a thing. Okay, what if I search top four hand graveyard? There we go. Search. No cards found. Am I doing this right?
Yeah, okay. I don't... It feels like a thing that exists, but I can't find anything on it, so maybe not.
I mean, that would be a good reason why it didn't ring any bells. Okay, maybe that's not a land that exists. Or at least not as written.
Yeah.
Anyway... Sorry for wasting everyone's time, but yeah, I can't wait to see the white one and the red one. I mean, we've already got Conqueror's Foothold, which is a weird, like, multi-land. We've got the Primal Wellspring, which is a crazy fork land. We've got Thaumatic Compass, which transforms into a freaking Maze of Ith that taps for colorless mana.
Ugh.
And then we've got Treasure Cove, which is a sack of treasure to draw a card land. Woo! These lands are cool.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
It really feels like we found what Zendikar was trying to do.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if these are going to see, which of these, if any, are going to see any sort of serious tournament play, and I don't especially care. These are cool.
Yeah. They also look really nice in this flipped card frame. So, I'm pretty happy with them.
Yeah. So, there you go. Okay, so that's Exelon, there are more cards, but whatever, that's what other podcasts are for. Like the Mana Pool, where we'll be talking about all kinds of these things.
Yeah, buddy.
And Bill will join us if he wants to. Hey, Bill, you can join us if you want to.
Aw.
You can leave your friends behind. So let's see, what else do we have? We have Magic the Gathering Arena. Right, so on Thursday of last week, in the middle of the workday, they had the reveal stream for Magic the Gathering Arena, and it's totally, although they will never admit this, it's the next version of Magic Duels. Now, it's not technically the next version of Magic Duels, because this is done by Wizards Digital, I forget what the name of the group is. Yeah, the Digital Game Studio.
Yeah.
Which is in-house at Wizards of the Coast, and Magic Duels was not, but it's totally the next version of Duels. Like, there's no way around it. Even on the FAQ, it says, this is not a successor to any other game. Yeah, it is. It really is. So, yeah, it's free to play. It's an arcade style. Okay, no, that has different connotations. But it's a free to play digital card game. that happens to be Magic the Gathering. It's been, and I said this on the last episode of the Mana Pool, so, and I apologize for it then. It's been Hearthstoned up.
Yeah.
So that it's very dynamic. It's not boring to watch. Like, Magic Online is miserable and ugly to watch. Like, for the purposes of entertainment, it's terrible. Magic Duels was slightly better, but it still wasn't great. But this one, you know, when you attack with a creature, it actually runs up and slams into the thing they blocked with, or it slams into them if they're,
if they're blocking with their face.
Yeah, if they're not blocking at all, then it runs up and bam! And, like, legendary, or creatures with big effects have big graphical effects. Planeswalkers have voice lines and big graphical effects. It's just, it's been Hearthstoned up. It's what all the digital card games look like now, because Hearthstone was like, hey, we're going to do it like this, and they have that Blizzard polish. And then all the other card games were like, yeah. So, Eternal, Faerie is sort of a card game. Freaking, the Elder Scrolls one, Gwent, The Witcher one, they all have a similar feel to them, because that's clearly the right way to do a digital card game, so Magic is finally jumping in on it. Which, considering all of these other card games have been aping what Magic started, it seems perfectly fine for Magic to ape their digital versions, right?
This doesn't bother me at all.
No.
Honestly, no. Like, I've played Magic Online. I've played multiple versions of Magic Online. I totally get why people are like, why do you watch streams of people playing Magic Online? It's the purpose of Magic Online is to give you an accurate rendition of playing Magic the Gathering. All of these games that are designed for digital are here to entertain you while playing something close to Magic the Gathering. And if you want to exist in a world where people are streaming, and you want to exist in a world where you pull in people who maybe don't want to sit there and stare at cards, this is a good way to do it. Because you'll stare at cards, but now the cards are getting up and going over there like a violent game at Toy Story. And that's kind of what you wanted, right?
Yeah, when you play a card to the battlefield on Magic Arena, everything disappears except for the art box, the name, and the power and toughness if it's a creature. Everything else is gone. And if you want to see what everything else is, you right-click on it, I think is what we determined from watching the stream. But you mouse over it and do a thing to say, hey, show me this, and it'll show you this. But it's not cluttering up the screen when you don't need to see it. And it's very streamlined, and they're claiming up and down that it's going to be identical to playing real Magic. Even so far as you can reorder the cards in your hand, and your opponent sees you reordering cards in your hand. Like, they're shooting for...
Fidget shuffle.
Yeah, they're shooting for just like Magic. Because, I mean, if you see your opponent ordering card, you know, they draw a card and they put it on this side, and then they draw a card and put it on this side, and then later they play from that side as a land. You know, you can glean a teeny bit of information from that, and they wanted to keep that intact. So that's totally a thing you can do. Yeah, there you go. It's neat. Like, when I say it's been Hearthstoned up, I mean that as a positive.
Yeah.
Because that is a positive. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever.
Yeah, my understanding from what you said before is that, like, cards that fly are flying now, right? They float a little bit?
Yeah. Magic Duels did that, too, for the last... That might be for all of the versions of it. By the way, Magic Duels has been going for the last 8 years. So, you know, they had some ideas to build on. But there are indicators of cards that have abilities. So if a card has flying, it's going to float above the battlefield. If a card has... like Hexproof, it's going to have some sort of graphical thing to show that it has Hexproof. Cards that are tapped are tilted slightly and have a big tap symbol on them. Because there's no need in a digital game to actually turn them 90 degrees.
Yeah.
Just because that's how you show it in the paper card game, it's not necessary.
We do a lot of stuff in the paper card game because we're playing a paper card game.
Yeah.
That you don't have to do online. It helps that when you're playing online, you can't mess up with tracking information, too. Like, in real life Magic, in a theoretical world where we all just pulled out Sharpies and made notes whenever things changed, it would be easier to play from the perspective of seeing what's going on at any given moment. But that would be terrible for an actual Magic experience. So you don't do that. Digitally, you can do that kind of stuff, and it's awesome. Yeah. And this sounds a lot less intimidating than Magic Online. which is good because Magic Online is intimidating until you've played it.
Yeah, and it's another cool thing that it has is you can play it very, you know, loosely in arcadey like Magic Duels, or you can turn on Total Control mode or whatever it's called. I think it's something similar to that, where you have to manually pass priority every time that you would. It's like having all your stops turned on Magic Online.
Mm-hmm.
For when, you know, you really need to respond to something properly. Oh, I drew this counter spell and this kill spell, so I need to be able to respond to whatever they're about to do. Well, there you go. And yeah, it looks like it's going to be fun.
Yay.
And I'm sure it will be. I mean, Magic Duels was fun to play. But as I said on the last episode of The Mana Pool, and I apologize for repeating myself, but the audience does not have 100% crossover, so if you've already heard this, bear with me. But what drove me away from Magic Duels was not the gameplay. The gameplay was fine. It was card acquisition was a miserable grind, and deck building was actively painful. Which is why I only ever played the story mode, because story mode was awesome. I didn't have to deal with deck building, and I didn't have to deal with acquiring cards. It was just play story mode. Sick. And it was a lot of fun. I loved it. Barring some of the bad AI, but, you know, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So,
did they mention in the announcement for this that this is going to be seen as an acquisition tool similar to how Duels was, or did they not go into any of that?
They didn't go into any of that, but it will be.
I mean, I assume, like, the whole point of Duels, the way they originally promoted it was learn how to play Magic, and here's a way to do it without having to, you know, necessarily go to your store or meet up with people like this. And I met a lot of people who learned how to play initially because they decided to play Duels on their Xbox or something. So,
yep.
I'm sure this will be a similar thing. I don't blame them for not jumping into that just yet, because the main goal of this, I think, was to be like, look what we did. And later on, we'll get more details. I did drop a link in the show notes to joining the closed beta if you want to try to get in on that.
Yep.
That's currently the only thing that's on the MTG Arena page on the Wizard website.
Yeah, so what we saw in the reveal was a pre-alpha build.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not even remotely ready to go yet.
Yeah, you can see some screenshots of it here, and you can obviously watch the replay on Twitch. But
which I recommend, actually. It was, seeing it in motion is actually nice. And then you can cringe at the, when Jimmy Wong said to the streamers, do you have any questions? And the two streamers, Gabby Sparts and Amaz, spouted out some obviously prearranged scripted questions. And I was like, oh, come on, you guys.
Yeah, they probably got put on rails a little bit.
But they
didn't. Do you have any questions? Yes, about the reserve list. No, moving on.
Well, they did open it up to the Twitch chat for questions, which was probably a mistake, but
I mean, engaging the Twitch chat is like, you know, staring into the maw of the beast. You probably shouldn't do it.
But it was, it's going to be free to play, like I said. They have not said anything about anything past that. At least they didn't on this reveal. And they're focusing on standard at the beginning, because they're the most recent cards, so why wouldn't you start with the most recent cards?
Yeah.
And yeah, there you go. And no, this isn't replacing Magic Online.
Yes.
So, which is, speaking of which, should we go to Magic Online?
Yeah, so actually, like, specifically to that point, they posted an article on the Wizards website by Chris Kuritz, who is explaining essentially, like, in response to Magic Gathering Arena, they want to talk about Magic Online and reiterate the main goals of Magic Online. So for starters, they want to provide players with as many ways to play Magic as possible. They want to support play at all levels of competition, and they want to evolve to provide the best Magic Online experience that they can, which is a lot of text essentially boiling down to, we're still doing Magic Online, you guys. It's still here. And that's an important message to send out to people, because unlike Arena, which is new and cool and fun to play in that respect, people have invested in Magic Online. They've got collection. They spend money in Magic Online. For a lot of people, that's the only way they can play Magic. And for a lot of people, that's where they test. And they're making it clear that Magic Online, still here. Gonna keep going. Not the same.
Wait. Is the same.
No. I mean, it's not the same as Arena.
Oh, okay.
Worth clarifying, though. Good point. Yeah.
Nothing is changing.
Nothing is changing. Everything is fine. Magic Online continues. And honestly, they've made a lot of leaps in Magic Online now that it's getting new sets right after the pre-release.
Or in one notable case, right before.
Well, that was a bonus. That was foreshadowed. But I recall when I first started playing Magic, Magic Online was literally like a month or so after the set came out. Yeah. So they've gotten a lot better about that, which is good. So that all said, you can read the full article here talking about, you know, the goals and objectives of Magic Online. If you've been using it for a while, you understand it. The main thing to understand is that it's still here. I've got my weekly updates, but I went over those last week because we recorded on Tuesday. So I don't have to do that again, but I've left them in the show notes just for reference if you want to see them. One thing that they mentioned on the Tumblr, because why would they mention them somewhere that I'm supposed to be reading? They've announced that for the constructed leagues, they're syncing up the end times for each league with the BNR list updates, so that way it's no longer an issue if something gets banned or unbanned during a league. Which I think makes total sense. If nothing gets banned, then everything is fine. If something gets banned, well, it's a new league. So that's a clean way to do it.
It's one of those things you can tell nobody even thought of until it happened, and they went, oh, crap.
And that's a relatively simple solution to avoid this problem in the future. Because last time, I think they just stopped the league when the banning went in. And they're like, and now that league's over. if I recall, like, if that's not what happened, then I apologize. But I'm pretty sure that's what happened. But yeah, this makes sense. So for formats with a change, the changes will be implemented, and then new equivalent leagues will be created right there. So, you know, they'll do the prize payouts accordingly. Life is great. For formats that aren't changing, they're going to extend the existing leagues on the day of the ban restricted implementation, and players can continue on them as is. So, just some rules to know going forward. Neat.
Good to know.
Past that, since we've been talking about all the wonders of Magic Online, I would be remiss if I didn't go into the bug blog.
Yay!
Which has, you know, something that's near and dear to my heart this week. But first up, just as a reminder, the bug blog keeps track of everything that's broken, everything that's been fixed recently. It's not just the bad stuff. And most importantly, it tells you what you should be aware of when you're playing, so that if you end up on the receiving end of a bug, you know how to, you know, go and properly report it and ask for help. And if someone's trying to exploit a bug, you know to report them for cheating. And conversely, not to do all these things. So here's some of the new issues for this week. So Goblin Game, it's got Squee on it.
Yay!
Goblin Game is one of those amazing, expensive, and dumb red spells. So in order to explain what's going on here, I have to tell you how Goblin Game works. Is the Oracle text shorter? Not really. Okay, I'm just going to read it. bearing in mind, in Magic Online, you're picking a number. But for real life, when you're playing this, each player hides at least one item, then all players reveal them simultaneously. Each player loses life equal to the number of items he or she revealed. The player who revealed the fewest items then loses half his or her life rounded up. If two or more players are tied for the fewest, each loses half his or her life rounded up. So functionally, the goal here is to pick an amount of life that you're willing to lose that is hopefully not the smallest number from the entire group. Pretty basic. Everything gets revealed at once so that there's no cheaty face going on. The bug is Goblin Game reveals your chosen number before your opponent chooses. So,
whoops.
So if you decide, oh yeah, 3, then your opponent can be like 4. You lose your 3, they lose 4, and then you lose half your life. That's not a good thing for you to spend your own 7 mana on, because they will always know how much. So be aware, if you're playing Goblin Game, that you probably don't want to till they fix that. Not much of a game. I mean, goblins, right?
Then it's a rigged goblin game.
Yeah. This is like Goblin 2-card Monty. Doesn't work as well. Or like goblins playing the shell game, but the shells are all like clear plastic cups. It's not going to work out. But I could actually see this happening, and that's pretty funny. Okay, so up next, As Foretold, which is the recent Amon Kett card that, you know, you put time counters on it, and then, you know, once each turn, you can pay zero rather than pay the mana cost for a spell you cast. If it's converted, mana cost is X or less, where X is the number of time counters. So you're getting to pay zero for spells on progressively bigger spells over time. Cool. It incorrectly does not apply to cards able to be cast due to Abandoned Sarcophagus, which is, you know, another like current standard card, which has you may cast non-land cards with cycling from your graveyard, blah blah blah, exile. So they don't work together. Considering these are both from the same block, that's problematic. They both essentially give you the ability to cast something differently, and I imagine they're just not compatible right now. So be aware for, you know, that in your doing weird nonsense with Sarcophagi deck. Okay, moving on. Certain cards that reveal an opponent's hand report this information twice in the chat log. That's just silly. I guess be aware that that means that if it says they have 15 cards, then, you know, they probably don't. But also bonus for them for having half a card to double it. But
wait, would it say that, or would it just stutter and give you the same message twice?
I suspect it's giving you the same message twice, because it would be more effort to do that. It's just a dumb chat log glitch. You're probably not going to care, but be aware that that's a bug, I guess. Here you go. Creatures with attacking restrictions, when forced to attack, will display an error message. The workaround for this problem, because there is a way to deal with it, is to unselect the creatures and then select them again individually as attacker. So that's just a UI glitch, but there's a way to address it. So be glad you're paying attention. And finally, the damage spinner on a player's avatar is sometimes hidden by targeting arrows. That's just annoying.
Yep.
So, but that's what's going on there. Like I said, keep up with all these things. You can click on the link in the show to see everything that's a currently known problem. The more you play Magic Online, the more you want to keep up with this stuff. So, awesome. And that's it for Moto, because like I said, I went over the rest of the news last week. To keep up with this week's news, go to the Wizards website tomorrow/today for some of you, Tuesdays, for the weekly updates, which will tell you about upcoming events and other things, and I'll talk about those next week. So, cool.
Yay.
Internet.
So, that's, I guess that's the episode, huh?
I believe so.
All right. Well, it's a shame that Clues didn't get his nonsense fixed, but, I mean, it sounds like his ISP was just...
Yeah. At least it's not his computer.
Let's hope not.
Internet angry. So, shall Internet we go into...
smash! Yeah,
go Internet smash! Internet smash! You got smash. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Crappy old internet.
If you don't get that, you are too young. And get off my lawn.
And if you do get that, sign my guest book on your way out. Good time.
Lord. So, wrapping it up.
Yep. All right. You can find me on Twitter at SweetGoblinAbob. There's no I in Goblin because it... For all I know, it was lost in the Goblin Game incident. I don't know. Then maybe it's the reason why your opponent can see what's going on. The thing is evil. I'm sure it did something. Past that, I'd like to note that this past week I watched The Tick on Amazon. And that was a lot of fun. Six episodes, I think. Six or seven with the pilot.
It's six, yeah. I watched it this week, too.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It was a more serious take on The Tick than I expected, but it was still very good and still very entertaining. So,
yeah. So the Saturday morning cartoon version was a Saturday morning cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
The Patrick Warburton as The Tick version was like a sitcom that happened to have superheroes in it.
Yeah.
Like, they spent most of their time sitting around being funny and interacting with each other, which is, you know, the reason to watch it. It was great. It was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But this one is, it's like a modern... it's sort of like a modern crime drama or a modern superhero show, but it's slightly off kilter.
Yeah, it sort of felt to me like when you sit down to watch a Netflix-y type superhero show, but not as serious and grim.
Yeah, I mean, it's still kind of grim, but then mm-hmm. you've got the tick standing there being a big idiot.
And, well, that's and sort it's of the great. Thing. Like, I think the very intelligent decision that they made in the development of this show was to focus on Arthur. Because
yes, Arthur is the main character.
Arthur is the main character, and that's good, because the tick is allowed to be the tick when he's not the main character. When he's the main character, the whole show floats around that, and it, you know, just devolves into silly nonsense, which is fun. But if they want to do something a little better, grounding it in Arthur is a much better idea, and I really appreciate it. I also appreciate the fact that in the pilot, which they made a year ago, the tick's costume is different than what it is in the other episodes, and they call this out in the second episode where he's like, "You're different now," and he's like, "Thank you."
I did
guess like that's that. It. That's it. That's
I thought
all.
That was a brilliant little one throwaway line.
Just like, we've addressed nodding, it. Moving on.
Yet nodding to the way that Amazon made the show.
Yeah, I thought it was funny.
It also really helps that Ben Edlund is the I think he's the showrunner, I guess is the word to use.
Uh-huh. And
Ben Edlund is the creator of The Tick.
Yes.
Which, that's awesome.
Yeah, I really appreciate that he made that jump. I'm really enjoying it, and I'm looking forward to when they release more of it.
Yeah.
So.
Ooh, did you love The Terror?
I did like The Terror.
Because The Terror, I think, is my favorite character. Like when he
fair
like he does the what's that behind your ear, it's nothing. Oh my god, I thought I was gonna die.
Yeah, he's pretty brutal. Like, I really appreciate all the catty talk between the villains, because they hate each other. It's so great. They're so unforgivably mean, but also in a lot of ways they're like, and then this is life. So I don't know, I enjoyed all of it. I didn't really dislike anything. So check that out. It's only 6 episodes. You can knock it out in a few hours. It'll be a lot of fun. Speaking of things that you can knock out in a few hours, I also saw It in the movie theater. And aside from my first time going to the movie theater with it having a bunch of terrible people, because Saturday night is a bad time to watch horror movies, I went back on Sunday and caught it in a much less horrible movie theater. And I really enjoyed it. It's a sufficiently scary movie. I remember watching It, the miniseries, a long time ago, so I forgot a lot of the details, but I knew the overall story, and it was well executed. I'll say this, if you go see it and you haven't seen it yet, there's going to be a scene where one of the kids is reading a book in the library. Pay attention to the background while the kid is reading the book. So, throwing that out there for you. Enjoy.
Duly noted.
Yep.
I still need to find someone to go see that with.
You don't want to go see it with Mom?
Mom doesn't have any interest. Mom doesn't do horror movies.
That's fair.
So, and I'm not going to go, I'm not the type of person to just go to a movie theater by myself. So,
no, that's fair. I get you.
I got to find someone to see it with. My first choice already saw it and didn't really like it. I was like, oh, well, damn.
That's sad. Well, we can figure that out. Go kidnap Clues when he gets his internet back. Clues, get down here and watch this movie.
Yeah. Email yourself. Hurry up.
Maybe that's why his internet died. Maybe he was attached. Clue's too large for attachment. But yeah, so that's pretty much me for this one. So I'm going to say that if Clue's was here, he would tell you about Random Discard.
Yeah.
And you should go check out Random Discard.
Yeah, you can follow him on Twitter, at LaCluse, which is spelled just like it is in the show notes.
It's true. And I guess go Chewy.
Yay, it's my turn. You can find me all over the internet at the Manipool. Twitter, Facebook, what's the other one? Twitch, where I stream games, and YouTube, where I occasionally upload videos that get demonetized immediately.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. I like the way I go. I make an effort to make my YouTube content, you know, family friendly, like PG-13 at the most, unless I'm playing multiplayer, in which case we're swearing up a storm. But other than that, I make it a point not to swear and do horrible things and stuff like that, and I still get demonetized.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's the new YouTube's new automated process for that. What's it called? Not hang on, I can just go to my video manager and look, because they're all over it. Not suitable for all advertisers. Yeah, the latest Hearthstone Brawling with Buddies is marked not suitable for all advertisers, even though it is suitable for all advertisers, unless advertisers don't like advertising on one of the most popular digital games in existence. So there's that. I don't know.
It's weird.
But, yay Hearthstone. And not making money off of it.
Boo.
But anyway, what else?
Patreon.
Yes, if you want to help support what I do with all of the podcasting 2 a week and YouTube and Twitch streaming, then you can check out patreon.com/themanapool, where you can get Manapool episodes and YouTube videos early. You can get the odds and ends, which is all the stuff recorded before and after both Monday Night Magic and the Manapool. And it's uncensored and unfiltered and just us being more us than usual. And those, I'm very far behind, but starting last week, I have enacted a new policy where the odds and ends for each episode of the show will go up within a week of the episode going up. So you will get the odds and ends for this one within a week.
Yay.
And then I will just catch up the ones I'm already behind as I'm behind. Because I've found if I don't force myself to do it as part of a regular thing, I just won't do it, clearly. Because that's why I'm like 15 to 20 episodes behind on the odds and ends. But this way I won't fall further behind. The patrons at that tier will, you know, get what they're paying for, which is important. And yeah, there you go. It's like the Tavern Brawl. I haven't missed a Hearthstone Tavern Brawl since it started. And they do one every week. And the one I just uploaded was episode 114, I think. But I do it every week because I have to do it every week because it's there and I haven't missed one. And that means, hey, look, I can do this if I force myself to make it part of the routine. So there we go. Odds and ends are part of the routine. So you will get them on a regular basis. Yay. And the other option is all of that stuff. And you can get your name on the end slate for every video that goes up in each month that you support at that tier. Hey, I'm also thinking of adding those names to the end of each podcast. Would that sway anybody if you got to hear your name read off on a podcast? In addition to the YouTube videos? Just a question. If you think that makes a difference, then let me know. And at the beginning of each month, I'll record a thing to append to the end of each episode.
Yeah. Enticement.
Yeah. So, with that, I guess we're done?
I think so.
So if you have spare internet, please send it to Clues.
Don't email it to him, though. It doesn't work.
No. Send it to him on Twitter, because he can access that through his phone. It'll be fine. And with that, we will be done. This has been, I don't remember what the episode is. Is
it 576.
576 of Monday Night Magic. Thank you all so very much for listening, and go play some magic.